In this hemisphere, it's hard to see how much worse things can get for Venezuela's President Nicolas Maduro. But it's the people of Venezuela who are feeling the brunt of hyperinflation and essentially an economic shutdown. Thousands of people in the streets every day demanding new elections, protesting shortages. A diplomatic effort from the Washington-based Organization of American States has only produced a threat from the Caracas government to leave the oldest alliance in this hemisphere. On a rare home leave, Hannah Dreyer, Venezuela correspondent for the Associated Press, spoke to us about the growing intensity of a nation crumbling before her eyes.
So the economic crisis and the humanitarian crisis in Venezuela, it's really hard to see how that can get worse. It's still getting incrementally worse, but the new thing in Venezuela right now is that we've had a month of deadly protests. So it was already a country with food shortages, medical shortages, and now every day there are people, sometimes tens of thousands of people in the streets, and they're getting into these violent clashes with police and government supporters, and at least 29 of them have died. And that's really prompting other governments in the region to stand up and say, this is too much, we're not going to just sit by anymore, as Venezuela just spirals into chaos. And so those governments are getting together at a regional pro-democracy group called the Organization of American States. And they're addressing the situation in Venezuela. It's a little vague. They're diplomats. But this has enraged the Venezuelan government. And just yesterday, the foreign minister said that the country was going to be pulling out of this group.
The OAS in Washington, you know, has a long-standing record of attempting to negotiate peace and democracy in the Western Hemisphere, but not recently. I mean, the OAS hasn't done anything recently. Is Venezuela already past the ability of the international community to have an impact on it?
Well, what's interesting to me is that Venezuela, for a long time under Hugo Chavez, was trying to position itself as the leader of this kind of group. They were saying, we are a progressive government in this region. We have a lot of oil money. Things are going really well for us. And we're going to make allies and kind of dominate these different regional trade groups and diplomatic groups. So now to have Venezuela just pulling out is a huge change. It kind of shows how far things have fallen. But the OAS doesn't have a ton of power. Really, the worst they can do is kick Venezuela out. And Venezuela basically just pulled a you can't fire me, I quit move.
Right. What's it like to cover these huge demonstrations? I know you spend some time on the streets as this chaos unfolds before you. What is that like?
It's one of the most dramatic things I've seen in 3 years in Venezuela. We had a big bloody protest movement in 2014, but that was really young kids in the streets setting garbage on fire and building these barricades. What I'm seeing now is a lot of older people. So you go out to these protests and it's huge masses of people, and a lot of them are grandparents. And they say, I'm here because of my grandkids. I'm here because my children all left this country and no one's left to fight but me. And they're really showing a lot of bravery because people are getting hurt at these things. And it's not just the clashes after the protest. People are getting slammed with tear gas. People are having rocks thrown at them. Just yesterday, a 20-year-old died because he was hit with a tear gas canister in the face. And after the main protests are over, you get these clashes between the younger people and the police. And those have turned deadly. But you also will have people eating at a nice restaurant right nearby, or people eating ice cream as these clashes unfold. So people are getting very numb to the violence, and they're going out every day.
Has the circumstances of Venezuela gone to the point where, you know, Venezuela's proud history has in a sense been erased, and we've gone back to some square one moment that it's hard to see how you build back from here, Hannah?
Yes, Venezuela was kind of an inspiration for a lot of people on the left under Hugo Chavez. Hugo Chavez came in. Venezuela was a very unequal society. The poor had really been shut out of the political discourse. And he brought the poor in and he erased a lot of poverty. He brought education to the slums and medical care to the slums. And people really did have a better standard of living for a while. And all those gains have now been totally rolled back. People are hungrier than they were before Chavez. They're poorer. Their lives are much harder. So it was kind of this shining example that's now been tarnished in a lot of people's minds.
What's it like to leave Venezuela and to go back? I mean, physically, what does it feel like to have this kind of weight lifted of all this unrest around you?
It's so bizarre. So I am out of the country for just a couple days, and I'm going back in tomorrow. I'm going to try to bring gas masks and other supplies down. And you leave the country, and you don't even realize how much pressure there is there until you get to, you know, the Bogota airport or the Miami airport, and it's like a weight is just lifted. This time I've been struck by how people are smiling in the streets. There's just this kind of sense of happiness and optimism that you don't see anymore in Venezuela. It's gotten so grim down there. And you get used to it. And I think that's also something that we're seeing with the protests. People are so used to violence. 60 people a day are murdered in Venezuela, and it's a small country. So you just get numb to the violence and kind of numb to the crisis. And then you go out and take these big risks like protesters are doing every day.
And you're going back into it. What's that feeling?
Well, you kind of have to gird yourself when you go back into Caracas. You fly in and it's already pretty bleak. The airport is always deserted. People won't stand outside anymore because some people have been killed and robbed just leaving the international airport. So everyone's kind of huddled inside, and no taxis want to take you if it's dark out because the highways have gotten too dangerous at night. But, you know, local media can't do the job the way that us foreign correspondents can. They are really subject to censorship and to retaliation by the government and by government supporters. So we can sometimes take risks that for them could be deadly. For us, the worst that can happen really is we'll get deported or maybe we'll get detained, but we'll always be let go. So you do feel a sense of responsibility as a foreign correspondent down there.
Finally, Hannah, has it concerned you at all the extent to which Venezuela is really below the radar in the news coverage here in the United States as you've been on your break?
I'm always surprised. When you're in Caracas, when you're in Venezuela, you feel like it's the center of the world. It's just so extreme, and people are fighting so hard for a change right now. And, you know, it's only 3 hours away from the U.S. It's very close, and there are a lot of economic ties. Venezuela sells a lot of oil to the U.S., and there are also a lot of cultural ties. But with everything happening in the world, I think it's hard for people to keep paying attention to Venezuela because the crisis has been going on for so long, and it keeps getting worse, but it's, like, already terrible. So when basically an unsustainable situation gets incrementally worse, I think it's hard for people to keep their eyes on it. And that's another thing that's driving the protests. People are saying we need to do something to get the world's attention here. And if it means shutting down the capital city every day for a month, we're going to do it.
Hannah Dreyer, Venezuela correspondent for the Associated Press. Thanks so much, Hannah.
Good talking with you.